And the things we see is how we determine things to be sometimes. Can anybody relate to that? We see how the economy goes, and then all of a sudden we start to protect ourselves. What the world says and what the world's doing, we kind of try to take it on for our own sometimes. And that's not what the Word of God says. It says that we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Have you ever heard, or have you ever thought that you have heard from God and it just didn't work out? Have you ever done that? You're just thinking, oh, I knew that was, so I stepped out and did something, and then come to find out it just didn't work out. Anybody else? Come on, somebody. We do that. We kind of recently, me and my wife were talking about making mistakes while we were arguing, and that we thought that God asked us to do, and the errors of judgment that we could count. Of course, being the quack that I am, or maybe be, sometimes said, okay, tell me how many times that I have made wrong decisions. I asked her in the car, trust me here. Just trust me. Can you trust me here? She said, well, I think we should do it this way. And I said, how many times have I made a mistake? I know that I've given you a bunch of reasons. I know with all my failures and all the bad mistakes, give me one. You know, because we're so sure that we never made any wrong decisions. And she was pretty good, you know, she was trying to think, and she's like, she wasn't going to ask me to tell hers, because I got them. I'll have to take my boots off. But she says, okay. I said, well, just tell me one, give me one. And she started rattling them off. Such as, how about the ordinations that I did in the church, and where are the people today? Oh, man, I'm like, is that a wrong decision? That was something God told me to do. She said, well, everything you said about the things that you told me about, we bought a house in the high desert. And she was so sure that it was God. And it was a nice house. I mowed the lawn twice a month. I had a big, big screen. Huh?
We had it 7 years.
And we slept there 7 times. Anyway, we're not talking about that tonight because we don't have enough time. But do you see how this can cause some controversy about some of the decisions that we make? Anybody? Am I speaking to anybody? Have you ever done something and you just said, God, I'm going to do this and I know that's you. And when you just did it, it just didn't work out the way you thought. You know, like this. Really stupid. You know all the mistakes in the past. You really have every reason not to trust me. This is what I told my wife. Instead of arguing the point, I just said, forget it. Whatever I say doesn't matter. I start to prove my point. Do we have any of those in here? Okay. You know, I'm going to hold my ground because we are. That's walking by sight and not why walking by faith. Because we all make this decision sometimes that we're all going to regret at one time. It's part of our DNA. It's part of who we are. It's part of fallen man. But just as it's also, it can be a part of having great faith in God. Because sometimes God's going to ask us to do something with everything in our being says not to. But you know that it lines up with the Word of God. And when it lines up with the Word of God, God wants us to do it. I asked her about that house in the high desert, and she asked me, what about the ordaining of those ministers that are not here anymore? We had a good argument going on. God will do some things, sometimes things through us we will never understand until we are standing before Him. We're going to go through things in life, and you know what? Not until we stand before God, we're going to say, why did that happen? You know, we lose children, things happen in our life, loved ones go on to be with the Lord. Other things we can never understand. All the things we pour into something, it just doesn't happen. And we're just like, Lord, we did everything we could. We prayed for that other building. I mean, it was to the point my wife was telling me, the Lord said we're going to get it. And as we're pulling the last truckload over, I said, when? But it wasn't meant to be. And we could question God, and I can be like that, but I won't know until we get before God. He has a better plan than we have. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 16:1. Write these scriptures down because I'm not going to have them up or go with me in your Bibles. Try to keep up, but write them down. Because you'll know them, but write them down anyway, read them later, but stay with me, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Have you ever been discouraged about something God instructed you to do for God? But the prophet of God, Samuel, found himself in a place of fear, questioning God, because he believed he was doing exactly what God wanted to be done, and found himself in a place telling God, telling him otherwise. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for decisions that you make in our lives. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, beyond everything we can even imagine or want, your ideas are better. Your thoughts are greater. Jeremiah 29 says, I know the thoughts, the plans I have for you. Lord, they're thoughts of good. They're plans of good and not evil. To prosper, to bless you, to bring you to the place of me. Father, I thank you that this morning, teach us in your word that, Lord, it's not by what we see, but it's what we know in our God and trust in you today. Help us in the decisions we need to make them godly decisions. Lord, that we would stay on that path, that straight path, and not in the ditch. That we would be on that straight road today, God, in the presence. Lord, even in leadership and choosing leadership and voting and sticking by leadership, that, Lord, we would know that they're of God, that we would go on that narrow road with you and not be caught in a ditch, especially in this time of voting, in this time of seeking out new leadership for this country, that we would not just go by what the world thinks, that we would seek God in every issue, that we would look into not on the outside appearance, but we look at the inner man of each or woman, whoever be God, your choice, that, Lord, we would vote our way of who you would want, Lord, in the place. Lord, not what the people want, but what you would want, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Samuel's heart was broken here, mourning over God's rejection of what Samuel had heard God say to do. But to understand, we have to go back into Samuel 15. See, Samuel was already had ordained Saul, King Saul. The people wanted Saul. They wanted him. He was this guy. He was for the people. He knew technology. He could relate to the young people. He could relate to everybody else. He was good. He was probably a good basketball player because he's very tall. He was a handsome. He was probably voted the best looking guy. He made Brad Pitt look like a weasel. Now my wife's shaking her head, no way, because nobody makes Brad Pitt look bad. I don't care what movie, she's still, and he looks tore up in this movie last night. She's like, Brad Pitt. Doesn't bother me a bit. 1 Samuel 15:1 says, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Wait a minute. Didn't Samuel say, the Lord sent me to anoint Saul? So listen, Samuel being the prophet of God, do I have any prophets in the room? Amen. Yes, amen. Do I have any prophets in the room? If you're preaching the word of God and the true word of God, then you're a prophet of God. You're speaking the oracles of God, thus you are a prophet. If you're speaking of the Lord coming, and again, how many prophets do I have in the room? Better, amen. So do I have any prophets in the room? We should be hearing from God. Does anybody hear God's word perfect in the room? Good. Hallelujah. So wait a minute. Didn't Samuel the prophet say the Lord sent me to anoint Saul? So did Saul or Samuel make a mistake ordaining Saul? No. Listen, 1 Samuel 8, 7 and 8. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that you say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. This is the Lord speaking. That I should not reign over them, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, which they have forsaken me, this is the Lord, and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. So the Lord is saying here, they don't want to serve me. They would rather serve a king. They would rather serve somebody that they could see. Oh, I'm going to trust in something I can see. Did I hear anybody this morning? Or can anybody hear me? I only trust in what I see. Show me the pudding. We're that kind of nation, people. We really are. Oh, well, the nation's a bad part. Somebody bombed it. We have a president, and all of a sudden something happens. He was the greatest guy one day, and all of a sudden the next day he's the worst.
It's no different in leadership. It's been that way from the time before. We would rather see what the Lord is saying here to Samuel's, go do something. I'm going to give the people what they really want. Isn't that what we say every day? We say it in churches. We say it in congregations. We say it every day on the job. I want more money. I want, I want, I want, I want. We say it to God. I get in prayer. I ain't praying for the nations. I'm praying for my backyard to be redone. I'm praying for this or this. And certainly pray for people to be healed. Certainly pray for people to be saved. Surely we do that and stuff. But are we praying out God's perfect will? And are we serving him the way we should? You know, sometimes we know he's here because don't you know when you run that red light, it's like after you run the red light, you look like this. You know, when you're going fast as you can to go through, you get through and then you go, oops, like you didn't know. Oh, they turned red on me. We're no different today. Have you ever prayed for something you knew wasn't good for you, but you just had to have it? Look at you. Yep. I'm going to pick on you today, man. It's not over, babe. And it's usually a relationship or something we couldn't afford to keep. But we just keep on desiring it. But listen to this. And doesn't the word of the Lord say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart? Hasn't God always been the same? Has God ever changed? God has never changed from the foundation of the world. He's never changed. He loves you so much. And you know, after you desire something for so long, and he tells you, I'm not going to give it to you, and you just keep asking, you keep asking. Finally, you know what you're doing is you're worshiping another God. Before you're, oh, I never thought about that, Pastor. Wait a minute, I was just looking for a husband. Well, maybe it wasn't that husband. Or how about a car? Oh, my God, I want a Range Rover. I do. I want a black Range Rover. No, you don't. Look at that here right there. See, some people are smart enough. Some people are smart enough. I ain't smart enough, but look at it. I want me a new Range Rover, and I'm going to be fly, like, shh. But you know what the maintenance is? And you know I heard about their electrical problems. I'm avoiding all that. And they tip over, my mom's like, tipping over. I'm avoiding all that because my desire says, and the Lord said, do you love me, or are you coveting a Range Rover? Or how about a relationship? I've already started there. I might as well go there a little bit. Sometimes we want somebody so bad, and we see everything is wrong, and we say, oh, it's worth it. But as soon as I start delighting myself in God, man, there they start checking you out. They are attracted to me. Or 0% interest on a 20-year loan. Well, 1.5. Add it up, 20 years, it's still quite a bit of money. But here's what I'm saying. The Lord will give you things, but knowing, here's what it is. We say that we don't worship other gods. We do sometimes. We do. And the people here were no different. They wanted a king to rule over them. Sometimes we ask for things God knows. He knows it won't be good for us. But he answers our prayers. People, we need to follow God's direction. But when we get in a hurry sometimes, come on. Well, sometimes we'll get in a hurry. You know, man. My wife knew what she was getting into. Believe me. She knew what she was getting into. This is what you get. Samuel 8, 1 Samuel 8 says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. What? And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. See, it's okay to have a king here, or a president, or somebody, even a pastor, that we can look at here, because we know that pastor's over there, or the king is over there. And if he's ruling over us, maybe God ain't watching, because God's supposed to be watching the king, and he won't be watching me. Am I speaking to anybody today? Oh, it's okay. I'm part of that church. That makes me righteous because they're doing so good. But really, what am I part of my plan? See, we like people ruling over us. We like somebody taking the responsibility. They told Moses, you go up on the mountain. But then they found themselves right in the same nonsense. Samuel told him what a king would demand of them, but they didn't care. We need to know what our politicians are about and what they believe in, people. Just don't say because everybody, oh, I like that. I like that guy with hair. I won't mention his name. You don't even know who I'm talking about, but his hair is flipped over like that. He's spouting stuff that I would not want as a president. Okay, he's got some great ideas. Some of the stuff is good. He's bold. He's saying things that people won't say because they're afraid, but he's an idiot. I didn't mention his name. I like him. I go hunting with him. He can buy me a car, Range Rover. He can afford it. Listen, look at the heart. The Bible says it's not the outward appearance or the out thing. It's the what? Condition of the heart. 1 Samuel 9:2. I like him. I think he's a crack up. But he's going to hurt the parties. He's going to hurt everybody. Everybody's got, both sides got one. But where's their heart today? What do they really believe in? Get down to ask him, who do you serve? Who's your God? Get the questions out. This is what the Christian vote should be. Not this and that. That wacko that went into that Planned Parenthood and shouted at those people are not of my God. Oh, they're killing babies. What did you just do? You killed somebody's baby? That police officer had a mama and a daddy? 1 Samuel 9:2 says, and he said, and he had a choice. The handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not more handsome person among the children of Israel. That's a good reason. Joey, I think you should be president. You're a pretty good looking man. Joey says, no. He wouldn't make a good president. And then it says, from his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So he was taller? Well, he won't need a stand. We can see him from a long way off. Let's alone just vote him in. And that's the way we are sometimes. Because of who they are, where they come, and they never had an opportunity, that is not the reason they should be the leader of this nation. The people's choice. Why are we following them? Because they're younger and better looking. Everyone else likes them. We need to stop getting on these bandwagons and start trusting in God's divine direction. How do we do that? In prayer, ask God, who are we to vote for? Who do we have the leader of this nation? Even me as a pastor. Should you be following this? I'm questioning you guys' prayer. If you just let me up here sometimes, according to my wife. See, Saul was tallest, most likely, best looking man. But he doesn't make him a good leader, just a prettier and taller one. If God has called you, go blaze your own trail. You don't have to do as everyone else. Be original, and people will follow you. Listen to me. People are looking for good people to follow. People are looking for Christians in your neighborhood. They already know that you're that good person. Do you know on my corner, people know that I'm Pastor Dennis. They know what I do. They bring food. They do stuff. They're saying, I don't know you, but I know what you're doing. On Harvest or Halloween night, people are knocking my door and saying, Pastor, keep it up. That is so awesome what you're doing in this neighborhood, how you're changing. People know who we are. They're looking for somebody. They already know who you are. They've already caught you called up. They're looking to be somebody like you. Amen? Saul's disobedience. 1 Samuel 13:1 says, Saul reigned for 1 year, and when he had reigned for 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash in the mountains of Bebel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah at Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away every man to his tent. Now, and Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was at Geba, and the Philistines heard it. And then Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. Now all Israel heard it, and Saul had attacked the garrison of the Philistines, that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together at Saul and at Gilgal. Verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and the people in the sand, which was on the seashore, and the multitude, and they came up and encamped in Michmash at the east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, Then the people hid in caves, in the thickets, in the rocks, and holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gath and Gilgal. For as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me." And he offered a burnt offering. Now it happened that as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went to meet him that he might greet him. See, sometimes we get in a little hurry. Sometimes we want to make God do things before God's ready to do them. Sometimes, and am I speaking to anybody today? Sometimes we're doing some stuff for God, but we want it to go a little faster than God has planned for it to go. Do you know that God's timing is perfect? That he never makes a mistake? He can fail. He never fails. He can't fail. But yet sometimes we rush it. Anybody? Or has anybody ever rushed something? Man, I was cooking yesterday and that turkey smelled so good on Thursday, I wanted to pull it out early. But I didn't. I let it go all the way and it was great. Verse 11. No, verse 10. Now, as soon as he had said, finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done? I ask you this morning, what have you done?" Because sometimes we can really mess up God's plan. We cannot intervene. We cannot be a part. We are a part in the fact that we need a prayer. He says that you stand in the gap, that you walk down his word, that if you do according to what he says, we are a part. But we can never help plan for God. It must be God's plan today. Listen to this. Verse 11, and Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw the people were scattered from me, that I did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, I said, 'The Philistines will now come down to me at Gilgal. I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled and a burnt offering. Here's what we need to understand something today. We cannot force God's hands. We cannot say, "I think this is the way that God wants me to do it." Because when we start saying, "I think," we start to put "I" in there too much. What we need to understand here, you cannot get the revelation of God unless you are in the presence of God. We can't just do God on a daily basis. We can't get up this morning and say, "Okay, I'm going to do what I did yesterday that seemed to work." That doesn't work with God. The only way you're going to get a word from God is to be in the presence with God. You can't just say, "Okay, we're a godly people and this is what we do and this is what religion does." Religion says, "I'm going to do something the same way every year, and God worked with it then and God will work with it now." But God doesn't work that way. He does what he says he's going to do, and he'll do it the way he does it. And this is just like other circumstances in our life. Sometimes we think, "Oh, just because me and Denise have a perfect marriage." Some people think we got a horrific marriage. I think we got a good marriage. Volatile, but good. Listen. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done," verse 13, "you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded for you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue." If we get ahead of God, most likely, we're trying to run our own kingdoms, trying to run our own games, trying to run our own show. And God says, it will not continue. God is a blessing God. He is not a cursing. He says, out of the mouth comes blessings and cursings. God's no different than we are. He says in the same way, the same thing. The Bible says, whatever he giveth, he could take it away. He can. But for now, your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Just because people say that they're Christians, pastors, or prophets, doesn't mean you should follow them in everything they say. Just because I say I'm Pastor Dennis, if it does not line up with this word, do not follow it. If I tell you to do something that is not according to what God has told you already and to do, if the Lord said to follow us in this church and to do what you do, follow it, trust in him. Because even if I made a mistake, you're not following me. You're doing what God said for you to do. If I make a mistake, and then it's up to God to correct it. If we make a mistake, it's up to God. But if he told you to be a part of this army, of this church, of his people, then don't focus on me and my wife. Focus on what God said to do. Don't look at the things that are seen, for they are temporary. But the things of God are eternal.
Amen.
Listen, 2 Peter 2 and 1 says, but there is also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Who's he speaking about here? The Lord, the prophets here. Who will secretly bring destructive heresies, even denying of the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Even among us, there's going to be false teachers. Even among us, there's going to be false prophets. Even among us, don't follow everybody just because they seem very anointed. Saul was very good looking. He was a great king. Tall guy. Man, he was better than who? See? Told you. If you just answer that question, don't show up here tomorrow. Proverbs 14 and 12 says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, huh? But its end is the way of death. Sometimes, oh, that just seems right. I think that's what God would say. If God didn't say it, then it ain't to be done. Man, there's so many people who say, well, that's in the Bible, and they tell me these sayings. I said, that is nowhere in the Bible. Well, that sound good. Well, he's a good preacher. Well, how's his life? All the way. Man, I am not perfect. Well, you guys know I'm not perfect. Man, I don't claim to be perfect. But don't follow me. Follow Christ. Man, if I make a mistake and I apologize, I do all the time. Poor Diane, she's around us all the time. Tony, too. Man, they're around us all the time. I got to get them some industrial headphones or something. You know? Just because everyone says it's okay now. You ever hear that? Oh, it's okay now. They've changed the laws. Oh, it's okay now. If it doesn't say it's okay in the Bible, the Word of God has never changed. Oh, well, you know what? You can make a party now because they legalized it. No, it says be sober. Sober. Well, the laws have changed. We can smoke now. Smoke that. Smoke grass. God grew it. Someone says, I can read the Bible. Literally. Oh, I get high. I can really read the Bible. I said, I bet you can. You got the devil reading it like electronics, whatever that thing was they teach you to read and do math. Anyway, Saul's disobedience to the Lord's command brings the beginning of destruction. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 15:11 says, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as a king, for he has turned back from following me and has performed, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Can you imagine that Samuel was set apart, mother given over him, the prophet, his whole life given to God. The success of God is his whole life. Everything he does, I mean, everything he's so proud of who he is with God. He's so proud of his relationship. And he feels kind of that God may have let him down. Have you ever been let down? Especially by somebody you love? It hurts. Oh, you pour everything you do, you put all your trust and you've set it all apart, and then they let you down. It hurts. He got let down. Samuel regrets anointing Saul. And I'm sure the devil was questioning Samuel's ability to hear God's voice. Am I hearing from God? I'm doing everything I can. Me and my wife have found ourselves in that position. We're doing everything we can. Are we really hearing from God? I find myself in that position. Man, am I hearing from God? I'm questioning it. Who's questioning it? Me or the enemy? The enemy sets in. He says, he's the accuser of the brethren. Right away, when you start thinking bad about somebody in the church, you're focusing on the wrong thing. When we start having unforgiveness and I'm angry at somebody, we're focusing on the wrong thing. We should be focused on them because it's not even them. The Lord said, forgive them, for they know not even what they do. See, the Lord identified it. We need to be a lot more like that, and we need to focus on God. If you're focused on God, people can steal your car, and you'll be like, Go by the station. I'll fill it up before you go. So was he hearing God's voice accurately? Samuel, the man of God, set apart for God. Am I hearing God? Man, God, what is going on? You told me to anoint Saul. You told me to order. John 10 and 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Acts 22 and 14 says this. And then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you shall know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. God, am I hearing right? Did you tell me? For Samuel 16 verses 1 and 2 says, and Samuel said, how do I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice the Lord. See, the Lord will always give us a way out. Have you ever thought about disappointing somebody? You know you made the wrong decision and you don't know how to get out of it. The Lord will always make a way. He will always make a way of escape. Well, I told him I would do it. Then just be honest, what's going on. Gain a brother by your honesty instead of losing something. Just don't stop doing something, because then the enemy gets in and starts accusing. If you can't do something, just call. And I told you I was going to give it to you, but I can't. I made a mistake. Verses 3 and 4 says, in 1 Samuel 16, 3 and 4 says, then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what I want to do. You shall anoint me. One of the name I named to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town and trembled at his coming and said, do you come peacefully? See, when Samuel started to come, they were a little afraid of God. Anybody ever afraid of God a little bit? You ever done something and you know it's going to be found out? And then you see something like, oh man, I'm in deep
trouble.
Yeah. Have you ever told a lie? And the truth just walked through the door. I said this before. I told a story so long. That was a good story. I thought it was my story. Finally, the guy told me, dude, that's my story. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Sometimes people will feel uncomfortable around us. But it's not us. It's the Spirit of God in us. Sometimes you will, man. People just like, you know, I've had people tell me, I just don't like you. I love you and whatever. Later they'll tell me, when I met you, I just didn't like you. I said, I hear that a lot. But it wasn't me. It was the Spirit in me. There's truth in me. I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. 16:5 says this. He said, peacefully I have come to sacrifice of the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Peaceably, with real humility, people will open up to us. When you get that peace of spirit on you, people will just open up to you. Man, I've been on somewhere, been doing something, people say, hey, can I share something with you? Why? Because the Spirit of God. Not that I'm so, yes, you can tell me anything. I'm a liar. I'll tell that story right on gossip. But you know what? When the peace of God is on you, people just trust. They just see it in you. Man, can I share with you? Pete talks about on his job how he has the people come and he uses God in circumstances. He uses Bible college even on his job application. I mean, you know, most people in the world say that's, you know, I don't know if I want to hire a Christian because we can't do things. But, you know, that's part of his life. He reveals God. And as people of God, that's how we are. Amen. We have to be open like that. Peacefully, those mean people open up. Verse 7 said, and he said, peaceably I have come to sacrifice the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come to me to sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. God chooses who he will anoint. That was my job. I should have got that. I should have been that. The other should have been me. God chooses who he's going to anoint for the time. Be faithful. If you wanted the job, get right up underneath that person. That makes you next in line. Don't say, don't covet a job or a position ever. See what you can do to help, and you will be recognized by, especially the person above them. In verse 8 it says, so Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel, and said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammai pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And then he said, it remains yet the youngest. There is the keeper of the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send, bring him. For we will not sit down until he comes. I like what it says here. We will not sit down. Sometimes we get too comfortable where we're at. And God says, press in until we get the answer. Sometimes we're just willing to take what we got. Oh, we're just willing to sacrifice. Oh, there's more coming. I'll take of one of these. Oh, I'm not going to get ahead of God. Oh, but you know what? Samuel said, you know what? I'm not going to get comfortable until the Lord comes. Until I get and see what God says for me. And you know what, far too often as Christians, especially in this nation the way we are today, we just get far too comfortable in what we're getting. The Christians have been the kick down. Give them what's left. Oh, they're, you know, because we give and we take and we feed and we do so much. It's like, give them the least of it. But God said, wait, I'm about to give you the best. Don't get comfortable. Don't just sit down. Samuel said, no, we'll wait right here standing till you bring the one that God said he shall bring before him. Whew. 16:12 and 15 and 13 says, so he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy, or ready, and his eyes were bright and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. And the Spirit of the Lord was on David and the anointing from that day forward. And verse 16 and 14 says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Oh my gosh. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely the distressing of the spirit is from God, is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player of the harp, and it shall be that he will play it in his hands, and the distressing spirit from God will be upon you, and you shall be well. Listen to me. David was adored from the day you were born. God has called every one of you out for a special work. He's anointed each of you. Amen. And you might think, I'll never get there. There's just no way, because you are seeing it through your own eyes. You got to trust God that he's doing something on the backside that you don't ever know about. See, all the sons of Jesse were all called out. They were called out. But it was David, the one that was away, the one that was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was tending the sheep. He wasn't hanging out with the rest of them. He said this and that. And then the Lord said, bring that one to me, the one that was going about his father's business, doing what he was supposed to be doing. And then he brought him in. And then he anointed him. And then he let him alone. He says, keep going. So David kept doing what he was supposed to be doing. He didn't say, now I'm anointed. Now I'm ordained. Now I'm this one. I don't have all this power. Oh, I'm not. I'm the special one of God. Oh, look who I am. I just became taller. I just became better looking. I just this and that. I'm going to wait around till I get my kingdom. No, he went about his father's business. And then on the backside, all of a sudden the king was all distressed. Send me that rock and roller, David. I need to hear some music. All of a sudden, see, David, it was a plan of God. Bring him to the king. He was sitting in the kingdom already, playing the harp, playing the music, and the king was soothed by it. See, he was already brought in. He was taken out of the field. He was brought in the kingdom. Wasn't the king yet? No, but he was about to be. Sometimes we need to be in some kingdom business so we can see what we're about to be. Start getting business. Don't say, I'm gonna start to minister when I start becoming that minister. No, start working in the field today. Start getting in the presence of the kingdom, and then you will see how the kingdom is ran. I wonder what would have happened if David was just made king. He didn't know how to be a king. He will have to be around some kings to know how to be a king. I didn't just become a pastor because I'm a pastor. No, I was sent among pastors to become a pastor. I had to see the nonsense sometimes in the church. Had to go and see the ugliness of this job. Oh, you only work an hour a day a week, pastor. Oh, my God. Shandoko. We don't ever want God to take his hand off us. It says here, an evil spirit of the Lord. Have you ever wrestled with God about something? Had a religious spirit maybe? Listen, when we don't feel like doing things of God, rebuke that spirit and start pressing in, praising him. Shake off that. And you're going to go to service tonight. Get away from me. I'm not going to go to the women's tonight. I rebuke you, devil. As soon as you hear that, God has something special. I'm not going to the men's tonight. Man, as soon as you hear that, God has something special. Start spending time in the kingdom if you want to be in the kingdom. It's like getting saved. That guy that said, today surely you shall be in paradise. That guy on the cross didn't even know what paradise was. But God puts who he wants in power. Verse 17, so Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who could play well, bring him to me. Then one of the servants asked him and said, look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful playing, a mighty man of valor. He was no mighty man of valor. See, people start telling stories about you, puffing you up already. Be careful when people puff you up. Be careful when people, oh, well, he's a mighty man of valor. Well, he was in a sense, but he wasn't a man of war yet. He fought off some demons, a bear and a lion, so it made him pretty mighty. But he wasn't known for his valor yet. Come on. See, God starts doing some things on the backside of our lives. If we stay faithful in the little, he will put you into much. A prudent in speech, a handsome person. The Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul sent messenger to Jesse and said to him, send your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesus took a donkey and loaded him bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent him by the son of Saul. And so listen to this. Listen to this. When you're a blessing, when you become who you are, people are going to start taking care of your mom, your family. I'm a blessing, man. That's my mom right there. You want to be a blessing to me? Bless my mom. See, I got talent, okay? And the people want the talent, and this is the king of the world. When they see something on there, they're making people that are nonsense rich today because they have no idea. But in the things of God, we don't walk by that. You want to be a blessing? Start going on the backside. Start blessing on the backside. Start sowing to the business. Start sowing into the kingdom. Don't be in look like I said it last week. I could give this and, oh, look what she's done for me today. But you know what? What God honors is what you sow on the backside. See, this young man is honored in the kingdom forever. Doesn't really say his name, but it was a servant that said, hey, there's a guy over there that plays the harp. See, when we get to kingdom, when I get to heaven, I want to meet that guy. Saul and the others, I want to meet them, but I want to meet that guy. I'm going to say, you're the guy. You're the guy that sent David, told the king about David when he was in the field. Be that guy. When you get to the kingdom, Carol, oh, you're that lady. Oh, you're that lady, man. Oh, you're that lady. Oh, you're that man when they get in the kingdom. Listen, we have elections coming up. Don't vote for what you see on the outside. Ask God to reveal what's on the inside. The world is changing day by day, and we need leadership that is going to keep us on the narrow road, not in the ditch. Pray for the leadership of this church and the body of Christ. I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'll tell you what, we put the right president, and we won't have to worry about terrorism. You put a godly person in the office of president, we won't have to worry for this nation. Listen, Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who could be against us? Trust in God and he will be able. Listen to this. Trust in God and he will be able to trust in you. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah.